You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, you're probably wondering what fossil emblems are. It's an idea that originated in America, and our countries in recent decades have started adopting fossil emblems alongside animal, floral, marine, and mineral ones, which epitomise the natural history of each region. Now, I spoke to Nick Rawlins from the director at the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago to find out more about fossil emblems and how New Zealand could adopt them. Now, you said that it's not often New Zealanders admit Australia is onto something good, but here they are, national fossil emblems. Could you tell me a bit about what exactly are they and why they're so important?
No, that's a good question. So, fossil emblems or state emblems, it's an idea that originated in the US, and it's been adopted by Australia in recent decades. So every state in Australia has got a mineral emblem, an animal emblem, a plant emblem, a marine emblem. And in 1995, Western Australia got a fossil emblem, and it was a fish from the Gogo Formation, which is a Devonian fossil coral reef, and it was about 380 million years old. And this spawned all of the Australian states, or most of them, to adopt fossil emblems. So New South Wales has got a lobed fin freshwater fish of a similar age, about 365 million years. Victoria's got 125 million year old giant amphibian. What else is there? ACT has got a fossil brachiopod. South Australia's got Spragina, which is from the Ediacaran, which is prior to the famous Cambrian explosion from Canada. And Spragina's the first bilateral animal in the fossil record, so his left and right sides mirror each other. And Queensland is currently going through a public vote to choose their fossil emblem out of dinosaurs and marine reptiles and a crocodile, a monotremer, a plant and a sea lily. So fossil emblems are really good at promoting local stories, the natural history of the region, but also for educational outreach, for highlighting the plight of fossils and the need for their protection as well.
Now, these emblems can ultimately help promote fossil tourism, educational outreach, and awareness of the need for fossil protection strategies, correct?
Definitely correct. So there are many, in New Zealand, there are many areas that are regional areas that are really good for fossil tourism. You've got like Waitomo with the Waitomo Caves that are full of moa bones, but also some of the caves actually have giant fossil oysters preserved in their roof. You've got the west coast of New Zealand up near Oparara, which has got caves full of moa bones that tourists can go see. But you've also got the likes of North Otago with the Waitaki Whitestone Geopark, which is a tour you can take to look at the geology and the fossil history of New Zealand. And there's a Lost Worlds Museum in Duntroon. But even thinking in the future, so some of your listeners may remember Folden Mar, which was this 23-million-year-old lake deposit near Middlemarch that we fought to save from an Australian mining company. Is you could develop fossil tourism there with a museum, with a research facility, with being able to go volunteer on digs like you can do at the Australian Age of Dinosaurs in Winton and Queensland, but also areas where the public can go collect fossils, like at Kronosaurus Corner in Richmond in Queensland. So that really helps teach the public about evolution and fossils, and also the plight of fossils and why they need protecting. There's a reason we're trying to ban the sale of moa bones at auction houses on sites like Trade Me, because so many of them have been illegally collected. But you can use it for educational outreach and develop educational resources or kete baskets for schools about each of these fossil emblems or the candidates.
Now, you've also mentioned Aotearoa's very rich fossil record and how fossil emblems could be used to unlock the evolution of Aotearoa and our unique whakapapa. Would you say that this is quite crucial when we think about what these fossils mean to us?
Yeah, so we have, as you said, we've got an exquisite fossil record in New Zealand, and it doesn't necessarily have to be flashy animals. Like our fossil record of mollusks can actually teach us a lot about how the environment was like in the past. So there's the Whanganui sequence where you get these exquisite mollusks or shells preserved, and that gives you a really good snapshot of what the shallow marine fauna was like at various stages through the past. But it these fossils allow us to look at how New Zealand's wildlife, or the tūpuna of today's wildlife, and going through time, adapted to the dynamic geological and climatic history that we have in New Zealand. And with the advent of ancient DNA, you can actually work out how they responded to climate change, human impact, and then how tauanga species might respond in the future.
Now, you've also mentioned that there's a distinct shortfall in paleontological expertise and funding, which is ultimately affecting the ability to study and protect the local fossil record. Would you say that this explains the lack of insight on the subject?
Yeah, so we've got this exquisite fossil record. We've got sites that have been discovered frequently, like your listeners will have heard about the molar footprints that were discovered in Auckland recently. Now, if the couple that found those wasn't onto it and hadn't contacted the museum, there's a chance they could have been stolen, destroyed, and by contacting the museum, experts like Daniel Thomas at Massey University and the likes at Auckland Museum were able to go and excavate those. So we've got these sites that have been discovered, in some cases been excavated by amateurs. Don't get me wrong, amateur fossil hunters are great and have discovered a lot of really good fossil discoveries. But in some cases, they can be excavated, not good metadata is collected, or in some cases, they're just completely eroded away. So we need more funding for paleontology in New Zealand, and we need to be able to start replacing the paleontology workforce. So there are quite a few of us relatively young people or postgraduate students coming through, but they're going overseas. It's the matter of retaining them in New Zealand and replacing the paleontological expertise and workforce that we have, which currently at the moment, no offence to a whole lot of my collaborators, is quite ageing.
Now, last question. Do you really think something like fossil emblems would really just capture the imagination of the public here in Aotearoa? You know, we've already seen stuff like the sea monsters exhibit at Auckland Museum, and, you know, they've even just the T-Rex, which is there at the moment. Yeah, do you really think that these fossil emblems would be used to do just that and really educate the public?
I think they can. It's like, I definitely want to take my kids up to Auckland Museum and see the T-Rex. It's like when we're next in Melbourne, we're going to go to Melbourne Museum and see the world's most complete Triceratops skeleton. They're cool, but they're not New Zealand's fossils. So if we can come up, and the idea is working with paleontologists around New Zealand and Maori to come up with a short list of, say, 10 to 12 of these fossil candidates that really epitomise New Zealand paleontology. And it could be big flashy ones like Kaifekia, which is the plesiosaur discovered on Shag Point down here in Otago, on display in Otago Museum. It could be Haas Eagle. We could go for the biggest, like the South Island Jotmar, or the smallest, like some of the trilobites that are about 405 million years old in some of our most ancient rocks. But there's the chance to also teach about the history of paleontology. So we could choose some of the historical stuff that pioneering paleontologist Joan Whiffen found and teach about the discovery of dinosaurs. So I grew up with a book called Valley of the Dragons, written by Joan Whiffen, which I've got about three copies of and my kids absolutely love. But we could go scientifically significant. We don't necessarily need flashy emblems to capture the public attention. It could be a common mollusk or shell that is really easily findable across New Zealand that kids can go see and they can excavate, or they can hold and say, we have the fossil emblem. So it's really about highlighting the breadth of our fossil record and all the cool fossils we have.
That was Dr. Nick Rawlins, the director at the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago, speaking about fossil emblems and how New Zealand could adopt them.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.